Good morning, good morning. How awesome is our God? Already in the house, right? Okay, were we able to get these declarations up on the screen that I put in there this morning at the last minute? Okay. All right, then you're just going to have to say it after me. So this morning as I was getting ready for this service, I just felt like we're going to start with some good declarations. And I want this to be maybe different declarations, but we're going to have declarations every Sunday because it's out of the word of our mouth we can agree with God in his word and things begin to change. Amen? Amen. So if you just stand up for one more moment. Okay. This is the day the Lord has made. I will hear the word today. And I'll apply it to my life. My God is a giver. He is not a withholder. Every promise in the Bible is mine. I've been set apart by God to accomplish great things. I always have something amazing to look forward to. I am vital. And significant. I am a victor, not a victim. I will live and not die. And I will live a life of praise every day. I am a believer and not a doubter. I am blessed coming in, and I am blessed going out, and I am increasing in every way. I am a soul winner. I am living with expectancy of what God will do. I will embrace, display, and share God's love. I am a friend of God. I am a history maker. And I am full of joy because I partner with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost to make his name famous on the earth. Amen! All right, now you can sit down. That was just in me, and it's good for you to say it. Do you guys believe that? All right. Okay, so we've been in this series about faith, and we found out that we have faith, we've been given faith at salvation, but we have to grow our faith, we have to continue in our faith, we have to contend for our faith, and so, you know, we exercise faith every day. You exercise faith when you got in your car today and put your foot on the pedal and hit the ignition, and you trusted that car was going to come, and maybe some people's didn't work, but yours did, and here you are, and so we have to trust the faithfulness of our God because we're putting our faith in stuff every day. We have to choose what we're going to put our faith in. Amen? And so the faithfulness of our God is what I'm going to talk about today. And faithfulness means faithful, sure, and true. God is faithful. He's sure all the way. And he's true all the time. So I use this example, and it bears repeating for those of you who didn't hear it. I'll go through this pretty quickly because I want to get to the explanation of why I'm saying this again. So there were these three sons that prospered in their life, and they got together to discuss what they had given to their mother. And the first said, well, I built a big house for her. And the second said, well, I sent her a Mercedes with a driver. And the third said, well, I've got you both beat. She loves reading the Bible, and she can't see very well, so I sent her a parrot that recites the entire Bible. He said it took pastors in the churches 12 years to teach him. He's one of a kind, and all mom has to do is name the chapter or verse, and the parrot recites it. And so then the mom sent out letters thanking all of them, and she said, Milton, the house you built is so huge, but I only live in one room. Gerald, I stay most of the time at home, so I rarely use the Mercedes because the driver is so rude. And then to the third son, oh, dearest Donald, you have a good sense to know what your mother really likes, and that chicken was delicious. Okay, so how does that apply to us? Well, first of all, just like the mother had access to the entire house, but she stayed in one room. All of heaven's provision is accessible to us. All of heaven's provision is accessible to us. All of the promises in the book belong to us, but we can choose to give that up, and we may choose to stay in a small portion or just one room, and it's a shame not to take advantage of it all. Wouldn't you want to take advantage of every room? Yeah. Yes, me too. Okay, so God not only has given us access to everything he has, with access, he has given us extraordinary natural skills. I don't know if you know that you're supposed to be the best at whatever you're doing. But you're supposed to be the best at whatever God calls you to do. And that can be in the natural too. If you are a business person, you should be the best. You should make the most money. They should love you the most. You should have favor. You should always be on the leaderboard. You should have lights around. Oh, boy. Both of my daughters are going, that's me. And so they have confidence in what God can do. And why? Because every time that they go to do something, they apply themselves fully, and they totally expect that they will have favor and they will have money. And guess what God has given them? Favor and money. Right? And so he said so and showed this in Exodus when he said, I've chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs in work of gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and to set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. You know why? Because he was called to build the temple of the Lord. And God, whatever you're doing in life, you should be doing it as unto the Lord. And if you're doing it as unto the Lord, you're building his kingdom. And if you're building his kingdom, he is going to anoint you and give you the skill set and set you apart from everybody else, because his favor is upon you to succeed. Amen? And so don't just take one room of what he offers you. Just don't take the salvation part. Take all of it. Take what he said you can have. So God has provided us the Holy Spirit as a vehicle with a driver that gives you the ability to live above the natural realm as you access your faith in God's promises. And so you can choose not to partake of all the things that God has provided for you. You can decide not to go any further in your spiritual vehicle. You can just receive a little bit. You can just take one scripture and say, that's my scripture. You should have a scripture that you live by. But you should take all the scriptures and know that all the promises in there belong to you. And so he's provided us a vehicle. And that vehicle is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach us all things, show us all things, reveal Jesus to us, reveal who we are in Jesus Christ. And so you have to take advantage of it. So when the mom wouldn't get in the car because she didn't like the driver that was provided for her, I just want you to know, sometimes you may not think the Holy Spirit is on your side. Shocking, isn't it? You know why? Because he also convicts you. He also shows you where you're going wrong, but he gives you the ability to do what's right. And so the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And so whoever God has put in your life to help drive you, it may be the person that you don't want to be with. It could be the person that irritates you. It could be the person, please God, don't let me have to be spending this much time with this person. I'm sure people have thought about this at Liberty, because you spend a lot of time with me. But thank you. And I love you. But iron sharpens iron. And so challenges have to be made in order to get you to the next level. And so I don't just love you, I challenge you. I don't just tell you what's good, I tell you also what's evil. I don't just tell you what you can do, I also tell you what you should be doing. Amen? And so don't shoot the messenger and get in the car and take advantage of the Mercedes and the driver. Amen? So God supplies us with supernatural abilities to bring glory to him on the earth. And so John 14 says this, most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus is talking, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. What? And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Oh my goodness. We say these words. Most of us have memorized these scriptures. We know that it says that, but we don't believe it. Because if we did, we would know what brings glory to the Father on the earth, we have the ability to do. So now let's think. What brings glory to the Father? Well, remember that story when they were trying to accuse Jesus for healing a man? And they said, well, why is this man blind, you know, from birth? And they're trying to accuse God of being the one who caused it. And Jesus said, his healing is going to bring glory to the Father. So one of the things we know is that healing brings glory to the Father. What else brings glory to the Father? Being generous. When you're generous, you know that you are a standout person. Because if you're constantly giving to somebody else, everybody's going to notice. Don't you? I love this guy that goes around and says, hey, I don't have any, you know, milk for my baby. Do you have a couple dollars? And as soon as the person says they will, he goes, I've been waiting for the person who had said they would sow into a need. But here's $1,000 now because I came out to give. And you can keep your $2 too. Yeah. Now, see, that's what sets people apart. You start acting like a giver, you start acting like God, because he's the greatest giver of all. So the ability to be generous sets you apart. And if you believe God, and if you believe in your tithes and your offerings, then God will give you the ability to be generous, because he is more than enough. It's one of his names. Amen. Okay. What else sets us apart? What else will he? What gives the glory to the Father on earth? Loving as he loves. Yeah. We sang it today, but you know, when you got to walk it out, and come on now, you got to walk it out, and there's all these people around you, and they're not acting very loving. And you just want to smack them in the head. You know, you do. And you want to tell them what's up, and you don't want to say it very nice either. And, you know, everything within you. What about those people? Oh, see, I could get upset. What about those people that do this in front of your car all the time? You know, because they're not looking anywhere and they don't care if they run into you. And you're just like, okay, so the Pharisees have taught us, I have grace for that. I have grace for that. And that gives glory to the Father on this earth, okay? What else gives glory to the Father on the earth? To grow and move with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Do you know that the Holy Ghost is a person? Yes. Do you know that God was so faithful that he brought Jesus to us to live on this earth, to come and take our sins, die for us, to be resurrected, to go sit by him, raise us up with him? But Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. He's coming from heaven, and he's going to give you fire. He's going to give you power. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to train you. He's going to be your advocate. He's going to be right by your side. He's amazing. You're going to love that. I got to go, because you don't even know what living with him is like, because I've been the advocate all along for the Father. But now you're going to have him living on the inside. So from the inside out, you're going to have abilities that you never even expected. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to give glory to the Father. Amen? Amen? What else gives glory to the Father? This one you probably won't like so much. Maturing in God. Maturing in God and exemplifying him on the earth. That means that you act with a different conduct than the world does. If you look just like the world, act just like the world, talk just like the world, be just like the world, how does anybody know you're different? How are you bringing glory to the Father? You just look exactly like them. They don't even know there's any difference in you. It's when we are a little bit radical about God, when we are a little bit set in our ways that they can't move us off of. I know what the word says about that. How come you don't listen to all this stuff? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I've already listened to my Father. And my Father who lives in heaven has given me a bunch of things that I know that he can bless me by. And I'm sticking with his rules. So you can say whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. I won't even judge you. I will love you. But I'm just telling you, I love him and I'm following his rules. And so when you begin to grow up in God, guess what happens? When you make a quality decision that you are unwilling to back up from, then you become the difference that the world needs. You stand out when you stand up. And so you got to stand up for the things that God stands up for. And so you become a light in the darkness. Amen? Okay, so that sets you aside. And then what else brings glory to the Father on the earth? When you access his promises and you're nice. Can we just be nice and kind? Can we be kind? And so the world isn't, they're so mean right now. Are people mean? I go, how can people be so mean? I don't understand it. They're just mean. And so whoever heard of bullies, whoever heard of all of this stuff, I mean, people are just mean. But the people of God are nice, and the people of God are kind, and the people of God do good things, go out of their way to do good things. And guess who gets glorified? The Father. Amen. So he has a whole feast for you that he has set up before you, not just one meal. So don't just eat the messenger. Don't just eat the parrot. Don't just take one of the promises, but take all of them, because God's faithfulness is a lifetime of more than enough. It's not just one time. It's a lifetime of it. He's provided everything you need for your life. Amen. Okay. Exclamation point. So John 10:10 says the thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So on this side of the blackboard is kill, steal, and destroy. And God has come to give you. And what's your life look like? More abundantly. So if it's abundance, it's coming from God. If it's stealing from you, taking your joy, taking your money, taking your attention, taking your affection, guess who it's from? Satan. And so don't get those crisscrossed or you'll live a mixed up life. Okay, so we know that scripture, but how do we apply it to our life? How does this actually live out in our life? So Maylene is coming. This is not a surprise, but that was quick, yes. Okay, so she's going to give you two things that God has done in her life and why he was able to do it.
Okay, so about 10 years ago, we were looking to buy a house, and the market was really crazy, and every house that we had put a bid in was taken from under us, right? So I was like, we had seen at least 100 houses, I kid you not. And I was like, okay, I'm done. I don't want to look at another house. I can't get my hopes up anymore. I'm just done. And then there was this one house left that was right where we were staying. I'm like, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go see the house. And he's like, it's right down the street. Let's just go. I'm like, fine, we'll go. And so we couldn't go through the front door because the realtor wasn't there yet. So we go through the backyard and it was perfect. Like, I wanted a big backyard. That I had asked God for a big backyard for our son, who was like 3 at the time, to have a playground set, to run, be able to run around, and we had dogs, right? So I'm like, okay, this is great. I'm not going to get excited. So we go in the, we finally go inside. And it's like move-in ready. Like every other house we had seen had to have like the roof redone or the bathrooms were stripped. And there was so much work that had to be done, and it was going to be so much more money than we could afford at the time. So I was like, okay, I love this house. How much is it, right? And so I was waiting for the, you know, we can't have it kind of thing. And they're like, actually, it's, you know, they're opening up for a bid. The highest bidder gets it. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what is going on here? And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, we've been approved for this much. This is how much we can afford it now. It was $140,000. That was approved, pre-approved for. And
that was like, 10 years ago. Can you imagine?
10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this is it. We're first-time homeowners, so we have no history or anything of that. So I said, okay. I'm like, it is what it is. It's $140,000, and that's all we got. So about the next day, he says, well, you know, the realtor calls us, and it's like, you know, you won the bid. And I'm like, what do you mean I won the bid? Oh, wait, back up. Hold on.
Yeah,
the God
please.
Part. Hold on.
Thank you.
Wait, the reason I'm up here. So that's Sunday, right? That
was a Friday. I was wondering how I was going to recover this.
So that Sunday, we had gone to church, and Pastor Don was preaching about believing God. Shocker. And so, you know, you have to activate your faith. You know, what are you going to do? How are you going to act when you believe God for something? So, you know, tithe came and I was like, God, I don't have $1,400, $14,000 to give you as a tithe, but I am going to tithe on something, on what my faith is on. So I tithed $140 that day. I'm like, that's what I had and that's what I could do. And I said, God, you know, I put this in your hands and I trust and I believe that you're going to honor this. And that Monday, the next day, we got the call that we won the house for $140,000. Or we got the bid. But now, there was yet another thing. Well, they approved you, $140,000, but you have to pay what it appraises for. And I was like, oh. I'm like, I don't think that that's going to work out. Because what if it comes in at $20,000, and I don't have another $20,000? And so, again, we're like, okay, I tithed $140. And my $140, that house is going to come in at $140,000.
Amen.
Or less, right? And so we had the appraiser come. I had my appraiser. They did their appraiser, whatever. It came in at exactly $140,000. Not a dime over, because we were ready to we were prepared to pay more, but it was exactly what we
Amen.
Needed at the time that we needed it and how we needed it. And that was just a testament to a tithe works, right? But putting an action to your faith,
yes,
right? Walking it out is what really, you know, connects you to the promise.
Amen.
Okay. So you want the other one too?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So, July, please hold. Okay, so it was 2019. July 2019 again. Another, what are you believing God for, right? Are you writing down the things that you're believing God for? So at that time, July 18, 2019. Okay. So at that time, my job, I worked for a small mom and pop shop, right? I was in sales, you know, did everything great, loved the company, loved the people, but I felt like there was more, like, I feel like I had reached a cap. And I'm like, you know, there's nowhere else for me to go here in this company, right? I need to grow, but I'm a very comfortable type person. So I was like, okay, well, you know, don't really want to move. I'm comfortable here, right? But I keep hearing, if you're comfortable, you're not being challenged. And if you're not challenged, you're not growing. So I was like, okay. I'm like, okay, so maybe it's time for something. But I was really scared. So I did a couple interviews on my own. And I was like, no, this isn't good. So I wrote down what I was believing God for, right? So from that day that I typed this in, I'm believing God for a job with more money, benefits, freedom, excitement, and room to grow. Those were my top five. So this was July. I'd given up on going on interviews in about November, because I'm like, it's the holidays. Who's going to hire during the holidays? Where I'm just not going to worry about this. We'll worry about it next year. So I relinquished. I'm like, God, you'll find the job. You'll bring it to me. It'll be fine. So December, right after I had said I'm done looking, December, I get a phone call via LinkedIn that they found my resume and they want to talk to me. And I'm like, I don't even know what you people do. Like, who are you? I've never heard of you. They're like, oh, you know, we've been around for 34 years, $4.3 billion company, national company. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what you do. But okay, sure, I'll take the call. You take every call, right? So I take the call. We're going through the things. And all I can say is, like, I have no experience with what you do. I said, I can sell. That's not a problem. But I don't know what you do. You know, are you willing to take a chance on me? And they're like, yeah, we're going to train you. This is a totally trainable position. And I'm like, okay, sure, I'll take the meeting. So we have the next meeting. I walk into this building on Las Olas, 19th floor, beautiful glass windows, glass conference room. I mean, it is
Gorgeous.
I'm like, and with the name of the company on it, right? It was beautiful. And so I was like, I don't know that I belong here. I'm like, what am I doing here? So I walk in and I, you know, the lady greets me. She's super nice. I sit down and the district manager comes in and, you know, super nice. We're talking. I'm so nervous, right? Because I'm like, I don't belong here. Like, they have just picked the wrong person. All I see is guys everywhere. I'm like, yeah, this is, I'm not here. And so we sit down, we talk. I'm like, wow, I feel like he has so much that I can learn from. I'm like, okay, well, maybe there's a God connection here, right? So whatever, I leave, I get a call an hour after, the regional manager wants to meet you. I'm like, okay, sure. So we're going through all these steps, whatever. I had 3 interviews in less than 10 days, and then they extended the offer to me right before Christmas. And so I was like, are you kidding me? So they give me, I had an amount in mind, right? They tell me, okay, this is going to be your base, plus commissions, plus residual, with no cap. And I said, I need to understand this a little bit better. What do you mean, no cap?
What does this mean?
I'm like, they're like, you can make as much money as you want to make. We'll never stop you. I'm like, okay, check one, more money. Benefits, full benefits, we pay 100% of your benefits. We'll even pay, I don't know, like 80% for your family. So really, your benefits are super cheap, great benefits, best benefits in the nation. Okay, check number 2. Freedom, I said, okay, so am I going to be tied to a desk? What does my life look like as I learned this? They're like, no, we don't want you in an office. If you're in the office, you're not out meeting people and you're not selling. So we don't want you here. I'm like,
hallelujah.
Okay. Number 3, freedom. 4 was it, the excitement part, right? So I'm like, okay, so what do we do here? And they're like, well, you have to go out and meet people and you have to talk to them. And you have to, like, take them out for lunch and build relationships.
What a shame.
And show them how exciting their business can change. And I'm like, well, this could be fun. Uh-huh. Right? I'm like, this is fun. I get to talk to people. I'm not in an office. And you're paying me to do this. Like, are you sure that you want to pay me to do this? Because, you know, I can do this for free, really. And then the other part was room to grow. So I'm like, okay, so you're going to teach me, but then what? You know, what are the opportunities from here? They're like, we will teach you, we will not only teach you the industry, we'll develop you as a person and as a professional. And the amount of money and time that we spend developing you, if you can grow within the company. You don't always have to stay in this position if you choose not to. I was like, 5. I'm like, okay. I'm like, when do you want me to start? They're like, in like 2 weeks. I'm like, right after the new year? And they're like, yep. I'm like, no. I'm like, I need time. And they're like, okay, well, no, we need you this day. And because we're going to fly you out to Texas the next week. And then in 2 weeks, you'll come back. And then we're going to fly you out to Texas again. And I was like, okay, great. And so I remember going to the conference. It was a sales conference. And so meeting everybody. And I'm looking around. And I'm like, these people have drank the Kool-Aid. I'm like, is this really as good as you know, as they say it is? So this is my favorite part, right? So the CEO, still founder today, comes up to the podium. He's talking about everything. And I'm like, you could just hear it. And I'm like, I looked up the name of the company. The name of the company is Insperity. And I looked at it. I'm like, what a unique name, right? I'm like, where does that, could have that possibly come from? Mm-hmm. So I start digging in my room upstairs. And I find a story of the company. And these are 4 church guys who got together and believed that God had called them to the business arena. They didn't know how, but they were knew that this was what they were called to do. And so, you know, after praying and deliberating with their wives what the name of this company was going to be, was Insperity, and it means to inspire prosperity. I was like, boom, I found my job. This is my God job. He checked all 5 boxes, but not only that, he was nice
More
enough to
enough.
Give me the faith factor, that this is a faith-based organization. That believes in the people and the gifts. And it's just an amazing thing that God has done in my life. So,
amen. Give that back to her. Okay, so with God, all things are possible. So what if Maylene just looked at the circumstances and said, this is never going to happen? Well, she was honest enough to walk you through that process with her house. She was like, no, this might not work. Well, you know, what if they do this? What if they, isn't that just like all of us? Yeah. And yet God is faithful to his promises. Yeah. God is faithful. Even when we doubt him, he's still faithful. He's just looking for the glimmer of light for you to trust him. And then she got her house. And it is a nice house in a nice neighborhood, and I love it. And when I walked in, I couldn't believe it either. She goes, "Mom, you have to come and look at this house and tell me how you feel." And I walked in, and I went, "I feel really good about this house." And so, but what if she didn't know the scripture? What if she hadn't come to church? What if she hadn't written down what God had said? What if she didn't know about tithing? What if she didn't know that Malachi says, "Bring your full tithe into the storehouse, that there will be food in my house, and test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it." What if that wasn't a part of her DNA? What if she never read the word? What if she never heard it? What if she never, she wouldn't have applied it, right? Okay, so did she understand the provision of the word of God? Yes, and then she took action. She sowed a seed, because seed time and harvest will always be. Yes. Amen? And so she accessed God's faithfulness by sowing the seed. And so we can give our time, we can give our talent, we can give our energy, and we can give our finance. And so when she did that, God said, "I have another surprise in store for you." And so when she took the time to make her request known to God. And so Matthew 6:8 says, "Do not be like the others, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him." So we have to make our request known to God. Why? Doesn't God already know what we need? Yeah, but you're not putting your faith on it until you write it down. Right? And so you have to have this expectancy on the inside. And so how can God get glory for it if you personally haven't invited him into the equation? That was a good statement. All right, so everybody has a cell phone, I am sure of it, or something to write on. And you should write down today what you are believing God for. Write it down. This is your opportunity. Because you just heard two testimonies. You just heard the word. God wants to be glorified on the earth. Include him in the equation. How are you going to glorify God in the earth by taking advantage of his promises to you? Write it down. Because we have to be confident in God's faithfulness if we're going to obey him. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to take all of his promises. So surely there is something that you're going to believe him for. I'm giving you time. Steve's writing a book. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank you. Lord, I pray they dream big. Dream big with you, Lord. Dream big with you. It could have to do with every area of your life. Any area of your life. What do you believe in him for? Maybe it's who you're believing them for, too. You could be believing for a family member. You could be believing for finances, open doors, opportunities, favor, blessing. He is more than enough. Okay. I know you can keep writing, but you can also finish this afterwards. Okay. So, if you're confident in God's faithfulness, then you can write those down and you can actually believe that he's going to do it. But how many of you are faithful to him? How many of us are faithful to him? Okay, so here's the next thing. It isn't because, a lot of times, it isn't because you're not convinced that he isn't faithful. It's one of four things. I wrote down three things, but a fourth one came to me this morning. So the main reason that we are not staying faithful to him is this. We fear that he is not going to come through because you have an incident in your life where you think he failed you. right? So we believe God is faithful, except for when we think he wasn't. And so then we look to our circumstances and we say, yeah, but. Well, are you dead yet? Because if you're not dead, he's still working. And how dare you judge God? And so, but we do this. We look at a circumstance and we say, well, I don't see how God came through on that. And so we judge him, and we don't have the whole story of things. We don't know. There are some things we'll never know till we get to heaven. But one thing that we need to bank on is that this is his word, and he is faithful who has promised. And so it doesn't matter what our circumstances look like or what the past has tried to say to us. If we believe past things that we can't understand more than we believe who he is and the faithfulness to his word, you're going to always be confused, mad, aggravated, and not living the good life that God has for you. You cannot live this life halfway loving God, halfway doing these things, and then blame him when things don't turn out for you. No, he's an all-in God. He's all in. He gave his son. He is all in. And so this is the problem. Every time that I meet with somebody that has issues with trust in God, it's because they always have an incident to recall. They always have a root problem where it looked like it didn't work out. They always have somebody who did something that they don't understand, right? And though God has given people free will, and they can do things that can affect your life, he's also given you free will, and you can choose what's going to affect your life. And their mistakes do not have to remain in your life. Because God is bigger than your mistake. And he's also bigger than theirs. We like it when he's bigger than our mistake because we want to make excuses for our mistake. But we have to remember he's bigger than their mistake too. And if we make him bigger than their mistake in our life, we don't have to live without the fullness of the goodness of God showing up in our life. This is what is wrong with the church. Is that the people of God are walking around acting like we don't have a promise that is true when our God is great. Our God is greater than any circumstance, greater than any failure of the past, greater than anything that has gone wrong, greater than any mistakes anybody else has made. Our God is faithful to you. Amen. Say, my God is faithful to me. Okay. David said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous and act. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord my God is with you. He didn't say he's just with me. He said he's with you, and he will not fail you, and he will not forsake you until all the work of the service of the Lord is finished. He's with you to the end. We're in this thing for life until he comes for us. Amen? Okay, so here's another reason why. Is because you think he won't help you because you have been unfaithful to him. So now you're not judging God, you're judging you. So now you think, man, I am a literal screw up. I don't know how I keep making this mistake. I don't know. But he surely is sick of me by now. And so I'm just going to go ahead and accept that I'm never going to make it. I mean, people have said this. And then you go, well, I might as well sin because I'm a sinner. I might as well just be a sinner and quit making excuses for it. Don't you love this when they say, I don't want to be a hypocrite. And really what they're saying is, I really want to sin more than I want to serve God. Oh, yeah. So, but when you start judging yourself as less than what God has made you to be, you've now judged yourself right out of the good life he provided for you. I don't care what you've done in the past. You know why? The blood of Jesus can cover that. Yeah. And when he covers it, he doesn't dig it back up and remind you of it. He is like as sick of it as anybody. He actually yelled at me about that. He said, who do you think you are? Are you better than me? I go, well, why do you ask that question? Because, you know, I'm talking to God. Like, maybe he knows something I don't. And why do you ask that question, God? And he goes, because if you are putting yourself on a pedestal above me when you say that I won't forgive you. You keep reminding me of your past. You keep reminding me of things I've already forgiven you. If you won't forgive yourself, you're on a pedestal higher than me because I forgave you. And I went, oh my God, what do I do with that? He goes, go throw it in the sea of forgetfulness and let the blood cover it and never bring this up to me again. Hallelujah. Never bring it up to me again. Because God covers your sin when you confess it before him. You're free. You're supposed to live free. You're supposed to live free of your past and you're supposed to move forward in the future. But how can you when you're judging yourself? So get rid of your past because he made you free. Okay. And you think your situation is too impossible or too much is wrong about the situation that it'll never turn around. You start believing what the outward manifestation in this world is instead of believing the big picture of God. So if you see yourself never getting ahead, if you see yourself always sick, if you see yourself always in a wrong relationship, if you see yourself always doing the wrong things, it's how are you seeing what is around you and how are you interpreting it to yourself? Because what we put our faith on is that. So either we're going to trust God completely and bring glory to his name by saying nothing is impossible to you, God. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what my checkbook says right now. I don't care even what the person says about me. They've judged me. They said I was this or that. They think I'm different because I'm come from a bad background, whatever it is. You have to get beyond all of that. You have to quit thinking if you think your situation is too impossible for God, you don't know him. Because our God is faithful who promised. He is faithful who promised. Our God is faithful who promised. And there is nothing that is impossible for him. Nothing, 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 nothing is impossible for him. Amen. So you need to line up with him. Get a bigger thought in your head. A God thought. What can your life look like? What can you do? Where can you go? How will you live your life? Hey, God has a good life for you. Okay. The last one is this. I mentioned it a little bit, but others have made wrong choices. And you haven't recovered. Well, I just want a B3 organ right there. Because this is what Satan wants to beat into your psyche. That these people's choices have affected your life. And that's the way it is. And you'll never be the same. Except for Jesus came. Jesus came and he defeated the enemy. I mean, we did knock him off the chair last week. If you weren't here, you need to watch that video. And so you set Satan right down in that brown chair, whatever color you have at home. And you say, this is what the situation was, but this is what the situation is. My God has redeemed me from any attachments to the things of the past. I am no longer chained to what people have done against me. I'm no longer chained to what their choices are. I'm choosing a new life in Jesus Christ, and I choose you, and since you're in charge of it, I know I have something that I can look forward to with expectancy because you are a good God and you are faithful. Now, see, you got to start screaming at yourself. I mean, when you get, listen, everybody has their time in the prayer line. Don't feel bad when you're the one that is in the prayer line because we all have that space. And that's why we need the body of Christ. And that's why when our faith is small, somebody else has to be great so that they can lift us back up to where we belong. But don't just go home and isolate and feel sorry for yourself and go over all the things that are wrong. You've got to get with somebody who's going to say, well, that's not the way I see it. I see God moving, and God is moving. When I was in the office this week, Janice is usually always the cheerleader, and, you know, she's like always going, hey, you know, God is on the move. We're in it already. We're not looking for revival. We're in revival. I'm like, yes, bring it, bring it. And so I gave her another report, and we were both sitting there going, and she goes, man, I don't know, Pastor Dawn. Everybody's just so jacked up. And I go, oh, no. Janice, get back. And she woke me up because I go, somebody around here has to push forward. And so we got back on track, didn't we, Janice? And so we're like, wait a minute. We're not going to agree with that. We're going to push this stuff out of here, you know? And so, but you have to hear what you're saying out of your mouth, because circumstances and what other people are doing can get to you. Well, I mean, if you are alive, so. And so whatever anybody has done should have nothing to do with what you're doing. Because you're putting your heart and your life and your trust in God. Now, God is faithful to his covenant and faithful to his people. And so, I'm going to say this really short. Abraham believed in God. He's in Hebrews 11 as the father of our faith. And yet he stood before God and said, hey, what about this guy? Could he just be the one that had the kid? Because you're taking too long. Yeah. So did the father of our faith have days when he wasn't the father of our faith? Yeah. And yet, because he was faithful to be willing to give up the prized possession that God gave him, his very own promised son, God said, I was just checking it out to see if you've matured now. Now you can have everything. And this covenant will go from generation to generation to generation to generation, because you believed me and then you forgot to believe me, but you got back on track and you believed me and you believed me, and now here you are believing that if I need to, I will raise your son up from the dead. I heard when you said that, Abraham, and now I'm going to do everything for you. You see, that's the God that we serve. And so he's faithful to his covenant promises and faithful to his chosen people. So how does Satan get away with all the stuff that he gets away with? I mean, we're looking around, we're going, there's so much stuff going on. Everybody says there's so much stuff going on. Every time you hear something. Okay, well, here is what his lie is. God is a withholder. He's withholding from you. He's taking things away from you. You know, you might even think he's taking things away from you when he asks for your tithes. You might think he's taking things away from you when he asks for your time. You might think he's taking something away from you when he wants you to focus on him and use all your energy to stay focused on him, because God knows that is a hard one. And so you might think he's taking from you when he uses your talent for the kingdom of God instead of you just like being Elvis. And so I won't go there. I want to go there. But God is not a withholder. He is a good, good father. And so, what if God, though, asks you to do something and you think he's being unfair? What if he's challenging you in different areas of your life and you don't quite understand this, and so you rebel? Oh, that's a perfect introduction for you in your story. It's a story. She insisted on this, and it's a really good.
Not insist on this, I assure you. Well, I told her the story. She insisted on this. We all know the truth. So, but this is a good story. I love it. I
will mess it up if I try to tell it.
Which
that's
is why I have to tell.
Yes,
it. She will.
True.
That is a fact.
So, and that is true.
But I do love this story. And honestly, I heard it as a teenager, a young teenager, yep. And it resonated with me so deeply. I remember it all these years later. We're not going to get into how many years. So, it was
exactly
a prophet from way back in the day. But he had this dream, and there were horses, and the horses were running free, and the water was flowing, and it was lush, and the landscape was beautiful, and these horses were just having the time of their lives. And then the trainer came. And the trainer corralled these wild horses and put them in the stables. And now they had a fence, and they could only go within the perimeter. And then they could only eat when they were fed. And they had times that they would get their water, and the rest of the time they were in training. They were learning how to carry the king's carriage, which was pretty cool and significant, but it was not a fun time. The horses were not enjoying this. They were stuck now and confined and trained. And they didn't want to do that. This is not sounding like what their life was supposed to look like. So one horse says to the other, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this. This fence is not that tall. And I'm going to jump it, and I'm going to go do my thing. And you can come with me, or you can be the sucker that you are and stay here. But I'm out. And the other horse said, no, listen, I think this is for a purpose. We got to stay the course. We're going to do the right thing. We have to. We're supposed to do something better than just run wild forever. Wild horse is like, nope, I'm out. Jumps the fence, takes off. And this goes on for a long time. He sees that horse running. Every now and then he'd come by and laugh at the horse in training. Be like, so how's the training coming? Is it time to eat yet? Like, you know, mocking the other horse. And the wild horse would come back, but he would always run. And the horse in training stayed the course. So not too long after that, a drought came. Mm-hmm. And there were no more water flowing. And the grass is not green anymore. And the food is not available. And the next time the wild horse shows up, he's very thin. He doesn't have enough water. His coat's not shiny. And he can't find his friend in the stable. And he's like, where did my friend go? What the heck happened? And then came the king's carriage.
Come on now.
And that horse was leading the pack. Because that horse stayed the course. And that horse had all the benefits of his training. He was shiny. And he was healthy. He was well-fed, well-watered. And now he was in charge of the king.
Come on.
Now, he was leading that king's carriage. He was in charge of protecting him. He had honor. He had status. He had happiness and fulfillment.
Yes.
And the wild horse said, now I understand. I should have stayed the course. Is that not the best story? I was like, if there's anything that taught me how to, like, stay the course, you might want to be wild, but you got to come back to the stable.
Exactly.
Because getting fed from the master's hand is really where it's all at. And it's the benefit package.
Amen. See? Thank you so much. See, you know I would mess that up so bad. That was perfect. So you see? Even when we don't understand why we feel like we're corralled, even when we don't understand why God is causing us to have to listen to a trainer, where we have to come to church and we have to sit and then we have to try to apply it to our life, and when things are difficult, we don't understand the discipline of the Lord or the Spirit of God. Oh, but then the benefits start showing up. And then you start realizing you never go without. You are never wanting for anything. He is always providing for all of your needs. He's been watching over your life, and he has you corralled for a reason. He has you right where he wants you, in the palm of his hand, so that you can be the ones who lead forth in what he is bringing to the earth. He's not looking for a bunch of wild horses. He's looking for the horses that are willing to be stallions, the ones that are going to be magnificent, the ones that others are going to say, they've got something and I'm following them because they followed the trainer. That's the Holy Spirit. And so God is faithful. He called us into fellowship with his son. And so he's called us to be in partnership with him. And we don't even know how much greater God's call is on our life or what it actually looks like. I always look at different things when I'm getting ready for a sermon. I look at videos. I look at stuff that I think would touch your hearts. I just am always trying to bring the reality of what I'm trying to say that God's trying to say. And so I had a video that I watched last night, and it was, they were having a birthday party,
And it was for a foster boy that they had taken in. And, you know, with everything going on, there needs to be foster parents and there needs to be people who will adopt their children. But I'll have to play this for you. Maybe I'll play it next week. But and so this little boy, his mom comes in with the birthday cake with a candle on it, and she puts it down in front of him, and he looks at her, and he looks at his dad, and he runs. He just starts bawling, just hysterical bawling. And he goes over and he grabs onto the father and he's just weeping in his hands and he's going, gotta go blow the candles out. And he's like just clinging because he couldn't believe the good fortune that he had a birthday cake with a candle. And then he looks over at his mom and he runs over and he grabs a hold of her and he's holding on to her. And she's like, okay, son, go blow out the candle. And he's like, ah. And then he looks back at his dad and he runs back to his dad and he's holding on to his dad. And then finally they go, okay, we're going to help you go blow on the cake because the candle's going to like go down on the cake. And so he finally goes over and he blows and they go harder. And so everybody's going, and the candle goes out and he celebrates and then he runs back into his father's arms. Because it wasn't about the cake. It was about the father's heart that he had been missing all of his life. It was about having someone on his side that was going to do something. He had never had a birthday ever in his life, even acknowledged, let alone had somebody give him a cake. But we don't know how that is so much in America. But we do know what it's like to be missing a father's love. We do know what it feels like when we don't have that person to run to and have them hold us in their arms when we're having the worst day of our life. We know what that feels like. What if everyone knew that they have a father whose arms they could run to? What if they knew that they could run to him any time of the day or night and that he would hold them as long as they needed held? What if they could cry in his arms and he would never want to push them away, but he just said, I'll hold you as long as you need held? What if the body of Christ understood that that is how faithful our Father is and that he is 100% present at all times and every circumstance for our life? Then you would understand that Father's love. And when he asks you to do something, if he puts you in a little corral and he said, this is for your benefit, you wouldn't say, I don't know how this is for my benefit, I'm out. You'd be saying, you held me in your arms when I needed you the most, and I'm going to listen to you because you are way better than I am. Amen. The whole world needs this reality of our faithful Father. It's the missing element of what is going on. We may look at all of the things that I've talked about today, and we could all line up all of our excuses and all of our grievances and all of our pain. It could go down to the very root of, maybe you don't even know how far it is. But I will tell you this, there is a loving, faithful Father who loved you through every one of your mistakes. He loved you and he brought you near to him until you could recognize that his arms are big enough to hold you through every circumstance and to walk you through to the end. That is our God. And he did it for every single person. He didn't leave anyone out. He didn't say, no. He made it for every single person. Oh, okay, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to invite you to something. So, an earthquake happened in Armenia. And it came down and it hit on a school. And there was rubble everywhere, and the parents just ran to see it, and everyone started digging through the rubble and pulling off beams of wood and pulling up rocks. And so there was a little boy named Armin, and his father's name was Samuel, and he tried to concentrate on looking at it and seeing exactly where his classroom was, like in all of the rubble, where would his classroom be standing? And so he went to where the closest that he could figure out where his classroom would be, and he just dug and dug and dug, and he would pick up the rubble and throw it aside, and so they did it for hours, and then the other parents started giving up. They thought it's been too long, surely they're dead, they don't have enough oxygen, and so they said, come on, you know, we just gotta understand this is over now. You know, you're making it worse because nobody's, and he goes, no, I'm not leaving. Even a fireman finally came to him and said, you know, the chances are, you know, that there's no way they could live through this. And he goes, I don't care. I'm going after my son. And so he just kept digging and digging, and they're going, well, it's going to become more unstable. I mean, this is worse. And he's like, no. I'm just going to dig as fast as I can. And so he kept digging, and he kept digging, and all through the night and into the next day, he was still digging. And other people started coming, and they were placing flowers where their, you know, where their deceased child is supposed to be. And they're crying, and they're hopeless. But Samuel just keeps digging. He's just working. He's exhausted. He just picks up another rock. He is so tired, but he just keeps digging because he's focused on who he's after. He's after his son. And finally, he heard this faint little cry, and it was help, help. And he knew it was his son. And then it was muffled. And he's like, did I just make this up in my head, or is this real? And finally, he heard this little voice that said, Papa. Oh my God, it was just what he needed. He got through it, and he saw his son, and he said, oh, come on out, son. Come on out. I found you. And he said, no, take the other ones first, because I know you'll still be here for me. Fourteen children emerged that day from that hole. And so 14 people benefited by one father who was faithful. And all of the families, because a father was faithful and he wouldn't give up. So, do you know this God? Do you call him Papa? Do you know that he's digging through the rubble for you? Do you know it doesn't matter how much has come against you or what has fallen on you or where Satan has trapped you, that he's still digging? He said, if you make your bed in hell, I'll be there. Until he returns, he is looking for you. It doesn't matter where you are or what you've done, he's digging for you. He's digging for you so that he can pull you out and he can prove to you the kind of God that he is. He has the best for you. He has come to give you not just life, but abundant life. He has come to prove to you that he is faithful, not just to the pastor, not just to the elder, to you. He is faithful to the hurting. He is faithful to the lost. He is faithful to the abandoned. He is faithful to those that are in trouble. He is faithful no matter what your background is. Our God is different than any other God. There is none like him, and there's no substitute for him, and that is why our God is the faithful one. And the faithfulness of God is the richest treasure that we have in our life. It's the richest treasure that we have in our life, but we have to take advantage of it. And so this day, on top of writing down what you want from this faithful God, I want you to think about what you are willing to give to this faithful God. And you know, he doesn't ask for much. All he asks for is your heart. He doesn't give you a list of things that you have to do in order for him to be there for you. He's digging through your rubble, and he's digging through your trouble. And he is waiting for your voice to say, Papa, just recognize him. Just recognize him. And when you acknowledge him for who he is, he will lift you up, and he will train you, and he will bring you birthday cakes, and he will give you everything that you need pertaining to your life and to godliness. It is not hard to serve God. It is a privilege to know a Father like that. Amen. How could we not fall in love with him? How could we ever find anything that would be a good substitute for him? Never. He is our Father. So Papa is here. Papa is looking for you. Whatever your circumstances, it looks impossible. It's not impossible for him. Whatever your background is, it looks like it's going to hold you to the past. Oh, no, Papa says, that's nothing. I know how to cut that cord. I know how to sever you from all of those wrongdoings. I know how to set you up on high. I've already provided a seat for you in heavenly places. You just need to know me and the power of my love. You just need to accept my son. You just need to understand. I'm not trying to get anything away from you. I'm trying to get things to you. I'm a good, generous, amazing, faithful Papa. Well, what if, you know, I get in trouble again? Well, I'll dig you out again. Because that's the Father that we serve. Now, when he proves himself to you like that, you don't want to get back in the hole. You keep going forward. It might be a little bit at a time, but at least you're moving forward. And so God is looking at those people who will not serve him with mouth only. But they will decide that he is worth honoring. Oh my God. Even if you have something that you can remember that you think he failed at, well, he didn't fail you. Even if you can think of some time you thought he forgot about you, he didn't. Because you know why? I know it's true. Not only from the word, because my life has lived it. And your life can live it too. You just have to choose him. You just have to call on his name. So today I just want to give you this opportunity. What does your life look like when you really know a Father like that? What's the difference in your life? How would you conduct yourself any different than you are right now? If you really knew his goodness, his kindness, his faithfulness, if you really trusted that he was pure and true, he's not a man that he should lie. What are you willing to offer to a father like that? I want to be that little boy. That won't let go. I'm not going to get distracted by what he gave me. I want to just hold on to him. Thank you for all the stuff. Thank you for the cake. Thank you for the candle. But I just want more hugs. I just want to stay in your arms. I just want to be healed by your presence. I just need to know you're near me. I just need to know you didn't give up on me. I just want to call you Papa. I just want to know it's true. So be that person and know that he's digging for you. So if you close your eyes right now, here's the real deal. The Bible also tells us there's only one way. There's one way to the Father, and it's through his Son, Jesus Christ. That you have to acknowledge him. And not just that he went to a cross. We could all, well, hopefully all of us know that Jesus went to the cross. That's not enough. He did die, but you have to believe that he took your sin and that he's resurrected. And so he says, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those that believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord shall be saved. There's a shift when you say it out of your mouth. There's a shift in just knowing about it rather than believing it enough to speak it out. And so, you know, we confess this morning that all of those great things about our God. But I'm asking you to give your heart to Jesus. I mean your whole heart. He's here. He wants to hug you. He wants to hold you. He wants to make it all better. He wants to take you to places you've never been, in such security that you've never known. And all you have to do is acknowledge him. Some of you say, well, you know, I've asked Jesus into my heart a million times and my life is still messed up. Well, then invite him into your heart a million and one times, because he's still available. Move in his direction. Call out to him, because he's here for you. I think it's easier when we do this corporately. I'm not trying to make, but I'm going to say this, and I mean it with all my heart. You can talk out loud and use verbiage and not mean it in your heart, and you'll leave here the exact same as you came in. Because saying a prayer and not meaning it in your heart is just words. But saying words that come from the heart is what changes things. And so, though I will invite all of you to say this prayer with me, you have to predetermine if you're saying words or if you're inviting him in. Because if you invite him in, he will come in and he will sup with you. It means he'll have dinner with you. He'll be there every minute. He's actually always present at all times through all things. So whatever you need your Father to be right now, he is that. Goodness is so big. We could name all of the things. We could never even think of them all. And we'll continue discovering more about him day by day and throughout eternity, because that's how big and good and faithful he is. So today we're going to acknowledge him. So if you want to say this from your heart, it can change your life forever. So, Father, I acknowledge that you are so much bigger than I have said you were. or I have seen you as, or I have served you like. And I ask that you forgive me for not knowing you like I should. But I reverence you right now. And I want to honor you. I want to call you Papa. I want to say thank you for digging through the rubble until you found me. I want to thank you, Father, for Jesus. What a wonderful sacrifice. So big, so hard, but you gave him for me. And Jesus, what can I say to you? How could I ever thank you for the cross, for what you endured, for my life to be abundant and be fulfilled? Forgive me of all of my sins. Bring me up to date, away from my sins. Let me get rid of them all right now. And let me watch them sink in the blood of forgiveness as I acknowledge you as my Lord and my Savior. I call you Lord. Yeah. Holy Spirit, I can't leave you out. You're my teacher. You're my guide. The word says if I ask for salvation, I get you too. And you will teach me all things. So reveal Jesus to me. Reveal the Father to me. And reveal me to me. Yeah. I believe I'm going to do great things. Because you came after me. And now I found you. Thank you. Thank you. Now just feel his arms around you. Just know he's hugging you right now. Just know they're always available. They're huge. He holds the whole world in his hand. Imagine how many he can hold in his hugs. And be confident in God's faithfulness to you. Don't forget this moment. These are indelible ink moments if you let them be. If you let them be. So let it be. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done today. I thank you for all the testimonies. I thank you for all the truths you have unveiled to us. And Lord, I pray that we utilize it in our life. Lord, this is no joke, this life of ours. This is real, and this is a day of final decisions that we are not willing to turn back on. Lord, I thank you for opportunities. I thank you for it. I thank you for favor. I thank you for blessing. I thank you for your gifts that you have given, and I thank you that all of us are going to enjoy the life you have pre-prepared for us from the foundation of the world. And I bless these people, Lord, in your wonderful, beautiful name. We give all the glory back to you, that your name will be glorified on this earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Well, I love you. Yes, but who do we love the most? And who loves us the most? Yeah. And who loves them the most? Okay, go be the light in the darkness. And have a good day. Love you.
Thank you for joining us today at Liberty Life Center. We hope you were challenged and encouraged by today's message. Visit us online at libertylifecenter.org. where we have links to other archived messages and even a place to give. Be sure to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Liberty Life Center. We hope you'll join us again next week. In the meantime, embrace, display, and share God's love.